Well, guys, let me ask you a question as we begin. Who has had their patience tested sometime in the last month? Anybody? That would be most of us. The rest of you are lying. How many of you have felt impatient? I know sometimes when Margie and I were going to drive up and we were going to see Alex and Megan up in Canton, and I never know when they're going to open that Peach Pass lane. So we thought we timed it where we're going to get the Peach Pass lane. And so we're going through Atlanta. No, it says it's closed. And then about two exits beyond that, we're sitting in traffic. I'm looking at cars shooting down the Peach Pass lane. And I just want to scream because I'm stuck. I'm impatient. I want to get there. See, Margie got the spiritual gift of patience. I got the spiritual gift of sarcasm. And so I use it. And I'm talking to the people in the Peach Pass lane. I'm talking to everybody around me. Impatience. Yeah, I've had my patience tested. Sometimes it's just irritation. You ever put together some plans and you expect things to turn out this way? Like you plan a party or you plan your day, and this is how my day's going to go. I'm going to start off with my Bible study and devotion. Then I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Then I'm going to sit on the back porch, and I'm going to watch the Cardinals in the backyard. And then I'm going to just yell at the squirrels, and maybe they'll go away. And then I'm eventually going to show up to work, and everything's just going to line up, but it never works out like that. Somebody knocks on the door. Hey, I need to talk to you. Or, hey, do you want to buy one of these? Or now it's those Girl Scout cookies. You know, I can't even get out of the grocery store without someone wanting to put more weight on me. Yeah, I don't have the gift of saying no. So I just, you know, I guess I could just eat just one or two boxes, you know, and be done. And or maybe it's just interrupted. You know, our schedules are interrupted. And we can't seem to focus on what we need to focus. I remember when Margie and I were married and we're still married. But I remember when we first started having kids, we decided what are some activities we can do with our kids that would be kind of cool that we kind of didn't do. And we came up with camping. And so my brother, you know, his whole in-laws and everything, man, when they go camping, they set up, I mean, they take over like a whole camping area, and then they circle the wagons, basically, and everybody just kind of meets in the middle. And when they finish breakfast, they're talking about what they're going to have for lunch. When they finish lunch, they talk about what they're having for dinner, and they just sit around. And Margie and I are kind of like, got to be moving. I guess, you know, after teaching all those years, you know, you're on a schedule, and you got to run here. You know, oh, you get 30 minutes for lunch. No, you don't. You get 5 minutes, maybe. You know, and so you're running like this. And so we're sitting there and they're saying like, yeah, I think we're going to go down to the creek, Paul, and we're going to fish a little bit. It's like, okay, let's go. So I go get the fishing pole and I come down and they're still sitting around talking about lunch. And it's like, they've got the gift of, I'm not in a hurry. In fact, they got the gift of being late. Doesn't matter when I show up. Doesn't matter what I do. I don't have that gift. I'm like, I got a fishing pole. I don't really like to fish, but I'm ready to go. Let's go and do something. The problem is we tend to be more impatient with those people that we love. You ever notice that? A stranger could kind of put something into us, or one of our co-workers could say something, and we drop everything and immediately try to deal with that. But it's the people we love that we tend to fire back on. The problem is we need a supernatural gift. We need a supernatural pouring of the fruit of the Spirit of patience. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our verse is in Galatians chapter 5, and I'm starting in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Against those good things, there is no law. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Did you see back? Go back to verse 4. You see that? The first description Paul talks about love being is what? Patient and kind. And guess what we're going to talk about next week? Kindness. That's right. Kindness. It says it does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, takes patience to bear. It believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. And in order for us to endure, we have to have patience. The writer of Proverbs says this, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. In the NIV, it puts it this way, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. He's saying it's better to be patient than angry. It's better to be patient than argumentative. It's better to be patient than trying to control every situation and person that's in your life. If you try to do those things, you're going to be worse off and more stressed out than you were before. And remember, love, joy, and peace, these were these inner qualities that we are saying to the Holy Spirit, Father, we need more love in our life. We need more joy in our life. We need more peace in our life. But now we're looking at some relational things. Father, show me patience. Help me deal with people. I saw this meme, and I wasn't even going to share it with you, but then I thought, like, yeah, why not? And this big lady, and she's in a gospel church, and she's the music, you know, the music's playing in the background, how it's getting started, and she's talking to the crowd first, and she goes, I'm going to sing this song, and I don't want you to sing with me. I just want you to listen, and I want you to feel. Do you hear me? You hear me? And then she starts, Lord, help me not to slap someone today. And she just goes on and on about that. And sometimes we feel that way. Lord, give me patience to deal with these people. I didn't even know that was a song. It's like, man, and she was a big old woman too. It's like, no, don't be slapping me, please. Paul writes in Thessalonians, he says, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. He says, be at peace among yourselves. We talked about peace last week. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and then what? Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, and especially focusing on the aspect of patience, what are some things that we can learn about the aspect of patience? The first thing I want us to think about is patience can help us heal broken relationships. Patience can help us heal broken relationships. The writer of Proverbs says this, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. In the scripture, in the Old Testament, there's a boy that has his coat of many colors. His name's Joseph, and he's bragging about this coat, and he's having these dreams that the rest of the brothers and the family are going to bow down to him, and he's telling them, and they're like, I can't stand this Joseph. I know he's their brother, but he's got to go. Lord, help me not to slap Joseph today, is what they're saying. And so what do? They take him, and they say they're going to kill him, but then they say, one of the brothers talks about him and says, let's just throw him in a pit, and then just go back and tell him, you know, that he got lost. So they throw him in a pit, but then they see a caravan going by, and they say, I've got a better idea. Let's sell him into slavery. He'll be gone. We'll take the coat, rub a little blood on there, take it back and say, hey, is this Joseph's coat? He must have been eaten by a lion. So Joseph goes, right? He didn't ask for any of that. Could have been angry, could have been upset. We don't know what he was feeling. He gets there, and while he's there, he eventually gets put in Potiphar's house, and he becomes like the second highest in Potiphar's house. He's helping Potiphar. Potiphar loves him. He's smart. He's doing these things. Joseph's probably thinking like, hey, I'm in Egypt. Things are going well. Maybe my life is turning around until Potiphar's wife tries to hit on him. And he's like, no, can't do that. So he starts to run away. She rips his cloak. And then she takes the cloak to Potiphar and says, that guy, that Joseph guy, he just tried to come on to me and I had to beat him off with a stick. And here's his, you know. So what does Potiphar do? Throws him in jail. Joseph didn't ask for that. Joseph had every right, every reason to be upset. What is going on, God? What were those dreams you were giving me? I don't understand. So he's in prison. Then the two guys come into prison and they're saying, like, we had these crazy dreams and Pharaoh's thrown us in prison. He says, well, tell me the dreams. One says, you know, I've had this dream. He goes, oh, you know what? You're gonna be raised out of here and you're going to go back to doing what you were doing. And it's going to be all good. So the other guy's like, hey, here's my dream. It's kind of like the same thing. It's this, this, and this. And he goes, okay, here's the thing. Yeah, you're going to get out of here, but you're going to be hung. Not good news for him. And he tells the one that has the good news, he says, hey, remember me when you get out of here. Just remember me. So there he is in prison. Does the guy remember him? No. And he's going on and on and on until finally Pharaoh has a dream that no one can figure it out. And then his wine taster goes, I remember this guy in prison. He'd been in a pit. He was thrown in prison, sat in prison, waited and waited and waited and waited and showed great patience. How did it turn out? Well, the brothers, they're starving. So they go to Egypt and they're looking for some grain and they're looking for some stuff. And they see Joseph, but they don't realize he's Joseph. And Joseph could have really had a field day with him. And Joseph does some Joseph things with him. But he uses that. And the last thing he says, what you used for bad, God turned into good. Patience. It wasn't right away. It wasn't a couple weeks. It wasn't a couple years. It was a long, long time. Abraham, God says, hey, I want you to go. Okay, God, where am I going? I just want you to go. So he gets up and goes. He doesn't know where he's going, and he goes and he goes and he goes until God finally tells him where to go and what to do. Then when he has Isaac, God tells him, I want you to take Isaac up on top of the mountain, and I want you to dedicate him to me. So he takes him up there. He's patient. Hey, where's the lamb? We're going to sacrifice a lamb. Where's the lamb? God will provide the lamb. And then he pulls back the knife and the angel stops him. Didn't say, kill him. I want you to dedicate him to me. You showed that you believed in me. This patience. You followed me and you did the things that I asked you to do. Patience. It wasn't in a day. It wasn't in a week. I remember one time teaching, and I had a student come in who basically bombed an Allstate audition. And the parents came in, and you know how parents are. Their kids are always perfect. Their kids are always going to be the next American Idol. And they came in and went to the principal and said, I want this guy fired. I want, you know, because my daughter is perfect. My daughter is excellent and everything. So the principal calls me down and says, hey, would you come sit in this meeting with me? And I'm like, absolutely. So I'm sitting there basically being told how I don't know anything, how I'm stupid, how my daughter is perfect, how when she was in junior high, everything went well for her and everything was laid out for her. But now that she's in high school, things, you know, how could she just get so bad? It must be your fault. And I just listened and I didn't smile and I didn't say anything. But when they got finished, I said, your daughter's very, very talented. Your daughter definitely has the gift of music. She's one of the top singers in my group. But when we went into the audition, she did perfect on her solo. But then when they did the tonal memory, she got nervous and didn't do that very well. And then when it came to sight reading, she got so flustered that she missed the whole first two exercises. And I said, so yeah, she had a low score. And so they looked at their daughter and said, did that really happen? And they said, well, yeah, that's what happened. And so they looked at me and said, okay, sorry, Dr. Cook. It was our fault. We didn't have the whole story. If I would have come in there and she would have been yelling at me, the parents would have been yelling at me, and I would have yelled back, how would that have been different? I'm not always patient. when people attack me or attack my family. Sometimes my wife says I give them that Paul Cook look, and I'm sorry about that. So if you think I'm giving you a Paul Cook look sometime, just know that it'll eventually go away. Sometimes it's the only look I got. But it's patience, and it's through patience that we can heal broken relationships. Another thing is having another aspect is it gives God time to work. It gives God time to work. The psalmist writes, wait for the Lord, be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Wait, wait, wait. We don't like to wait. I was sharing with the men's group yesterday at our breakfast. We live in a time where I pulled up some statistics, and it says that iPhone users touch their iPhones over 2,000 times a day. Who counted that is what I want to know. You know, who are you following around? But I've got an iWatch. It goes off. It lets me know what's going on. We're checking our cell phones. We're checking our computers. We're checking our posts. We're checking to see how many likes we got on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram. We're looking at all of these things over and over and over again. And it says that in 25 years ago, Time magazine did an expose, and they said the adult attention span is down to 12 seconds. Now, as a school teacher, I knew that was probably right. They blamed it on what they called the Sesame Street syndrome. So when the older people, those of us that are in our 60s and beyond, there weren't a lot of distractions in the world. You know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. We had three channels on the TV, and if you wanted to watch something different, you had to actually get up and go change the station and sometimes wiggle the ear and stand like this or put tinfoil on it or whatever. We didn't have as many distractions. But then Sesame Street came along in the late 70s and in the 80s and all of these things, and what they did, they put things in little chunks. 1, 2, 3. And then it went to something else, 1, 2, 3. And so we got used to, okay, I don't need to focus long. I just need to focus on these small little things. And more we saw that in our students. We saw that in our children. Now you can go to a restaurant. You can go anywhere you want. You'll see a dad on the phone, the mom on the phone. The kids are on their phone. And no one's communicating with each other. We are held hostage by these distractions. And it's making us less and less patient. It says now in 2025, our attention span is 4 seconds less. It's down to 8 seconds. And the attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. We don't even have the attention span of a goldfish. It's kind of crazy. So when the Bible tells us to be still, when it tells us to wait, that's hard for us. That's hard for us. We got to be doing something. I feel like I'm letting something go. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. The woman at the well, she goes to the well by herself because she's had 4 husbands, and the man she's with now is not, or maybe she had 5. I can't even remember the story. She had a lot of them, okay? And Jesus is meeting her there, and Jesus is patient with her. And he engages in conversation with her. He didn't throw her away. He made time to work. In fact, the disciples didn't even want to go through Samaria. Hey, we're Jews. We're not supposed to go through Samaria. He's going like, no, I got to go there. I got to go there. And they're like, do we got to go with you? Yeah. You guys go and do this. I'm going to hang out at this well for a bit because I have a divine appointment. Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus, the wee little man? And the wee little man was he, climbed up in the sycamore tree because the Lord he wanted to see. Remember that? Zacchaeus, hated tax collector. I mean, he would, you know, what they would do is just kind of burn people for money, because the more money they could get out of you, the more money they could pocket. You know, they had to pay whatever the tax was to Caesar, but they kept whatever was left. So you might be getting the raw end of the deal. Here's Zacchaeus. He can't see because he's a wee little man. So what does he do? He climbs up in a tree and he sees Jesus. And Jesus is just walking by. And what does Jesus do? He says, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. We're going to eat at your house. Zacchaeus jumps down. He's like, no religious or righteous man wants to come eat at my house. So he does. And what happens? As he's sitting there engaged in dinner with Jesus, his heart is changed. And he says he's going to repay back even more than he's taken. It's giving God time to work. Peter, behind Jesus, Peter's like one of those go-getters. I always got to be in motion. Hey, I got to be doing this. Hey, you know, we can't just sit here, Jesus. We got to be doing this. Hey, you're going to die. You think you're going to die? Well, I'm going to die with you because I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, I'm going to be there with you the whole way. Is that a knife? Is that a cross? I don't even know the man. And so he feels so brokenhearted when he realizes, and when he hears the rooster and he realizes what he's done, that he goes back to what he knows, fishing. He's out in the boat early morning and he's fishing. And there's a man and a fire cooking fish, just sitting there quietly on the beach. And Peter recognizes that it's Jesus. And he takes off his jacket and jumps in the water while the rest of them row the boat back to shore. And he's running through the water to get to Jesus. And Jesus could have said, oh, you foolish man. But he was patient with Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? He goes, yes, I love you. He goes, well, then feed my sheep. And then he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, I love you. He says, well, tend my lambs. Then he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, this impatience kind of rises in him. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He goes, and then go and tend my sheep. And theologians look at that and say, you know, the three times that he denied Jesus, those were the three times that Jesus forgave him. Patience. It allows God time to work. He loved and he forgave. How many of us know prodigals in our lives that we've been praying for and we just keep praying for and we just, God, get a hold of them. God, get a hold of them. And God does in his time. And it makes for wonderful testimony. But God works in his time, not in our time. And that's where we have to learn to wait and to be patient. Paul writes in Romans, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And I think the third aspect is God has been patient with us. God's been patient with us. Peter writes this, but do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The scripture says in the qualities of God, it says that he is slow to become angry. It's his mercy, it's his grace that we don't deserve that shows us his incredible patience with us. It says in the verse there from Peter, it says he is waiting, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to know him. Are all going to come to know him? No. The scripture says that too. But he is patiently waiting for you and for me and for our family members that are maybe on the edge or on the cusp, but they still have questions and he's patient. And if we live our lives to be more Christ-like, shouldn't we be more loving? Shouldn't we have more mercy? Shouldn't we have more grace? It goes back to 1 Corinthians when Christ says for us to love God with everything that's in us, heart, soul, mind, and strength. He also says that we are to love others as he loved us, right? He tells us that. And what was the first description under love? Love is patient. And those of you that have kids, you know what I'm talking about. Late at night, screaming and hollering at the grocery store because they didn't get the piece of candy that they thought they should get. And we're patient. Or we have to learn to be patient. Otherwise, we end up in prison for killing our children. That's what I'm thinking. Axl Rose, he is the lead singer for Guns N' Roses. He was a prophet. He said this, "All we need is a little more patience." It's what we need, patience. James, the brother of Jesus, put it this way, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." All we need is more patience. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And Father, as we continue to look at the fruit of the Spirit, Father, I pray that it would become more real and alive in our lives, that it would be more evident, the fruit that is being born in us. And Father, we know that it's not anything that we can do. We can't hurry up and become patient. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so, Father, we just ask that He would move mightily in our lives and in our hearts. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you. We do all this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.